good morning. It's Wednesday, May 6th, and this is Israel in 10, the Misgav Daily Brief. I'm Laura Cellier in Tel Aviv. A French vessel has been attacked in the Strait of Hormuz as President Trump says he's pausing his operation to guide stranded ships to safety, citing progress towards a deal with Iran. Today's guest is Eyal Yacobi, whose call to free 8 Iranian women was reposted by Trump. We discuss why the plight of Iranian civilians is often ignored and why anti-Semitism continues to plague American campuses. That conversation in a moment, but first your headlines. President Trump is halting naval escort missions in the Strait of Hormuz, saying progress has been made towards a potential deal with Iran. Project Freedom, launched just days ago, is now paused, though the US will maintain its blockade on Iranian ports. Oil prices dropped 3% on the news. A French shipping company says one of its vessels, the San Antonio, was attacked while transiting the strait. Crew members were injured and the ship sustained damage. Speaking from Beijing, Iran's Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi said Tehran will only accept a fair and comprehensive agreement with the US. Iran is also denying it carried out recent drone and missile attacks on the UAE, instead accusing Abu Dhabi of cooperating with hostile parties. Gaza envoy Nikolai Mladenov has described his meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu as positive and substantive. Officials reaffirmed support for Trump's 20-point plan for Gaza as efforts continue to move towards implementation after 2 years of war. But major obstacles remain, with Hamas refusing to disarm, even as talks on post-war governance and security continue. In the north, Hezbollah launched rockets, mortars and explosive drones at ITF positions in southern Lebanon this morning. The military says the projectiles landed near its forces and no injuries were reported. Israel's President Herzog is departing for a 4-day trip to Panama and Costa Rica, the first ever visit by an Israeli president to Panama. He'll meet President José Raúl Mulino before attending the inauguration of President-elect Laura Fernández Delgado. Israelis are 5 times more likely to use AI than the global average, topping a new index based on data from Anthropic's Claude system. Despite its size, Israel generates a disproportionate share of global AI activity, with officials pointing to deep integration across multiple industries. Before we get to today's conversation, a quick thank you to our sponsor, Carlos Abadi, made today's episode possible. If you'd like to sponsor the show, do contact us at misgavdailybrief@gmail.com. Now here's Eyal Yacobi.
Iranian regime was set to execute 8 women since the start of 2026. Over 700 Iranians have been executed. I simply posted raising awareness for these 8 women. It somehow got to President Trump, and thank God it did, because he put into the ceasefire agreement that the regime would have to release the women. You could see the propaganda in real time, where the regime started with saying these women are AI, they're not real, they never existed, to then shifting to saying they are real, 4 of them were already released, 4 of them facing trial but not execution charges. And so it was interesting to see the propaganda narrative play out in real time.
The plight of civilians in Iran hasn't attracted much attention. We haven't seen any protests at all. Why do you think that is?
You don't have the billion-dollar PR machine of the Muslim Brotherhood and Antifa pushing out nonstop propaganda on behalf of them. Last week, President Trump at a press conference where he revealed that 42,000 Iranian civilians were killed over the course of 48 hours back in January. According to the Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry, that would place more civilian casualties in Iran in the span of 48 hours than during a 2-year war in Gaza. It's revealing these so-called humanitarians that it's much more about can they get clicks online, who's funding them to post these narratives, than it is about so-called human rights.
When you're advocating for Israel, it's a numbers game, isn't it? How do you stop getting discouraged?
Israel has been a story of miracles, and I'm sure a miracle will come in the near future. You know, with more numbers, there's obviously a cascading amount of benefits. With smaller numbers, there's also more benefits that you can rely more heavily on the truth rather than propaganda. I can't imagine that at a certain point, people aren't sick and tired of the 100th community note that an accountant has gotten, or the 1,000th time that the BBC or CNN has had to retract a story because they were caught lying. Eventually, the narrative battle will be blown up simply because you can't have a movement predicated on lies.
It's the situation on the college campuses. The pro-Hamas protests appear to have stopped, but has the anti-Semitism been rooted out?
The most dangerous time is when you don't see the protests on campus, where there isn't some viral video of a professor doing something completely outside of the norm. These people think, simply because they can't see it, that it's not happening. When you go through each university and you look at what specific measures have been taken since the campus protests, the riots, the encampments, who has been fired, what foreign funding has been restricted, what students were expelled, nothing at all. My former president, Liz McGill, was hired by Georgetown University. Harvard's former president, Claudine Gay, was hired by Georgetown as well. No concrete actions have been taken. When you don't see the news cover it or it being on social media, it's even more dangerous because they're still working. Their work has not stopped. And just because it's not in the news doesn't mean they're not still trying to create new scholarship programs to invite people from Qatar and Gaza and the West Bank to come over. It doesn't mean that there's not new professorships that are being opened to create more academic lies that will be spread to other college campuses. And so I think it's actually even more dangerous right now because if, God forbid, another October 7th happens, they're planning right now for it and exactly how to behave.
Do you think American Jews should stop sending their kids to these schools?
I think it depends on the school mostly. I think certain schools are completely irredeemable. I think Columbia University, I don't even understand how they still have university in their title. There's two different schools of thought. Number one is these schools don't need Jewish students or Jewish money. We should just find the new quote-unquote Ivy League schools, whether that be Emory or Vanderbilt or the UT Austin. And then I think there's this other school of thought that's essentially, this is America. I should be able to go to whatever school I want to go to, so long as obviously they accept me. And I think these two narratives are at odds with each other. I personally think that in the United States of America, no Jew, no Christian, no one should ever not apply or go to a school that they've wanted to go to or currently do want to go to, with the caveat that the student that's applying should also understand that there might be some problems that arise at that school.
Young people are really choosing to side with the Palestinians over Israel. Do you think that's a blip? Do you think that's related to the war, or do you think that's a long-term trend?
I definitely don't think it's a blip. I think Israel has a massive PR crisis on their hands, and I think they know that they do, but I don't think they're doing anything to combat it. I think it's a more of a vulnerability for the United States that if an entire generation in America has been polluted by Muslim Brotherhood and communist propaganda, then I think it's a more of a problem for America than it is for Israel. Let's say in 20 years from now, the U.S. no longer supports Israel. We saw the same thing during the 56 war, prior to the 56 war as well, when America really didn't help. We've seen times throughout history where Israel hasn't gotten American funding and they've still been victorious. I'm very bullish on the Indo-European corridor that connects India to Europe and involves Israel, the Saudis, the Emiratis, and the Indians. There's a lot more moving east and detaching from the West with every society, quote unquote, turning their back on Israel. I think Israel is just kind of an afterthought of a much larger problem in that society. Take the UK. The UK's GDP is screwed for the future. They can't fund the NHS. They can't fund social services. You see nationalism rising on one side. You see Islamism rising on the other side. At a certain point, those two ideologies are going to clash in a major way in the UK. You see France, Italy, Western Europe as a whole, their GDP is completely falling. The rise in these ultra-nationalist parties and parties like the Green Party, fully communist parties, Western Europe and America have bigger problems on their hands if their next generation sides with the Muslim Brotherhood over a democratic pro-West ally. Israel has internal problems as well, but I think externally, I think there's a lot more that can happen where I don't know if the same holds true for Europe.
That's it. That's your Israel in 10. Do subscribe using the link below. It just takes a few seconds. Thank you and goodbye.